Good morning and welcome to Minnesota Reads, a special feature produced at KUMD. And we'll be focusing over the next few months on the NEMBA nominees. The Northeastern Minnesota Book Awards for 2014 were recently handed out, and we're thrilled to have the poetry winner on the phone with us this morning, Lynette Rainey Grandel. Lynette, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning, Lisa. Yes. Yes.
Congratulations. I just wanted to say congratulations. Your book, Approaching the Gate, took first place in the poetry category for NEMBA this year. So what was that like for you?
Oh, it was a total surprise, a total happy surprise. I just loved the whole event. And it was wonderful.
Would you start us off by reading a poem? The idea behind the Northeastern Minnesota Book Awards is that they deal with or evoke or are set in or have some kind of real connection to our Northland, which is kind of a cool idea. And as I was going through the book, I picked Soundings and asked if you could read that one because I thought that was very evocative. Would you share that with us?
Of course. Soundings. A shining lake echoes with swimmers. A yellow lab dives underwater, disturbing silt, ragged, pale, still visible, his joyous wet flag. He chases fish. In the soundtrack of an ideal relationship, two souls read, one on a couch, one at a table, a parallel structure, two notes sounding together. They move downward, then one holds, waits, and the other moves higher, higher, major tonic seventh unison waves. The dog plunges in water, seeking bright depths, speckled fish, a cascading school of shimmering notes, swimming in chorus. Oh, soul, if you touched your tongue to my center, what note would sound?
What a gorgeous poem. Tell us about your evolution as a poet, Lynette. Are you a poet? Is that what you do that what you do for your job?
No, I'm an English professor, which is very related to being a poet, but sadly mostly I teach freshman composition, which I don't know. There's not as much poetry in freshman composition as one would hope for.
Probably not. But you got to start somewhere. So what point if you're like many people who love the language, you wrote poetry because it was such a beautiful way to put your feelings on paper. What point did you say, hey, you know, this is kind of good. I could do something with this.
Well, I think that throughout my schooling in the Duluth public school system, oftentimes when I wrote, I got positive attention for it. So that just kept me going. This poem with a dog in it reminds me of, I think I wrote a story in first grade called The Cat and the Dog when I was at Lakeside School. And my teacher sent it all through the school system. And my mother was teaching elementary school at Kenwood at the time. And the teachers in her building were passing this little illustrated story around. And she looked at it and she said, well, that's my daughter. She had no idea. So, I mean, just from very early on, I think the people in school liked what I did. So that kept me going.
As an educator, as a person who's been on both sides of that experience, what do you think would happen to more kids if they got more positive attention for creative things that they do?
Oh, I think it would make a huge difference. I mean, I think it would make them love school more. I mean, you're going to get me on a soapbox now about the testing environment. I think the testing environment has destroyed a lot of people's natural love of learning. I think that there could be a lot fewer of these huge standardized tests. I do believe in you know, people needing to be responsible for their learning, but learning has to be fun. And we do love to learn things. I mean, look at all of the things that people learn outside of school. And I think educators need to be given freedom to bring some of that play and some of that fun back into the classroom again.
But it's really amazing also what that positive attention did for you. Even if your story, the one that you wrote, hadn't been that great, the positive attention encouraged you, made you feel strong, made you feel confident. So you wrote and wrote more. And
yes,
every positive stroke that you got made you feel stronger and more confident to write more, to get better. You might have been able to, you might have started off, I'm just wondering if you could have started off as really not a very good writer.
Of course.
But
I was
you
in
were,
first grade. I wasn't
you
a
were,
good
You
writer.
Were made into a good writer. I'm wondering
yeah.
how many kids we could make into good writers, good
yeah.
mathematicians, good scientists,
mm-hmm.
if without, you know, this idea of, you know, everybody getting an award, that kind of entitlement thing that we don't like. I just wonder if with that kind of encouragement, how many gifts we could uncover in one another.
Yeah. Well, a very good friend of mine teaches creative writing at the college level, and she has a great way of doing it. She has students doing exercises and then focuses on certain kinds of revision strategies. And I've always been very impressed by how she takes someone whose writing I don't consider very good, and she gives them basically revision tools, approaches, you know, try this with your poem, you know, move this line around, or, you know, move the scene around in your story, and they become better, you know. And so, yes, it doesn't have to be where people get an award for some kind of innate knowledge or innate talent. They get rewarded for putting in an effort, a particular kind of concentrated, specific effort. I think that definitely that is the way education is supposed to work. And most good teachers know that, but I think that, you know, people outside the system don't understand that, and they tend to legislate certain kinds of things that are more product-based at the end result rather than understanding the process.
Lynette, we've got time for one more brief poem. Could you read one more for us?
Okay. This is called Where I Come From. My father was born in French River Township, where small North Shore rivers, Chester, Leicester, Tisher, Amity, flows south through Juneberry, Honeysuckle, and Mossy Rocks. Now I sit beside an urban stream, more canal than river, an oily track of industry, utility, and expedience. I think French River must be wild. It must have no footpaths. But what do I know about terrain, the land, who my people are? Did my people expect me to get drunk on Chardonnay in a Polish bar with an Italian name on the concrete bank of a late afternoon? Stop talking to me now. Put your lips and your fingers on me. Put your blurry eyes on me. Do you think this is the last error you will ever make? This is a mouth, and this is a river.
Lynette, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Great to have you. Lynette Rainey Grandel joined us this morning as our guest. She is the poet who won the 2014 NEMBA Awards in Poetry. Her collection is called Approaching the Gate. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.